with me to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. There are quite a number of scriptures in the Bible that speak of eschatology. And eschatology means the doctrine of future events or the doctrine of end times. It deals with death. It deals with destruction. It deals with blessing. It deals with those things that we have not yet experienced, but that God has in store for us. This is one of the many things that happens in the last days. I spoke to you last Sunday on that subject. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And we want to continue that thought with this message today. Now, Luke chapter number 2 records the first coming of Christ. And Revelation chapter 19 records the second coming of Christ. And as we look to the Word of God today, I am keenly aware that there are some, perhaps many, conservative Bible preachers who will accept historical events as literal, such as the creation. Conservative Bible teachers hold to the Bible's view of creation. The flood. Conservative Bible preachers hold to the virgin birth of Christ. We have a tendency to look back into the Old Testament and into the New Testament, those things which have already happened, and we say, oh, we believe that, because Bible teaches that. But then all of a sudden, when it deals with future events, same Bible says this is what's going to happen, folks get a little queasy. They begin to back off a little bit. You see, some have no problem with Jonah being swallowed by a fish. Well, that's what the Bible says. Praise God. Amen. We don't doubt that. Bible says that. You accept that literal. Yet they have problems with Christ coming the second time on a white horse, declaring war on this earth. And the same Bible teaches both just as clearly. Now, I'm asking you to get involved in this service today, because if you don't get involved, you're going to get left. I want to speak to you on the subject of the Battle of Armageddon. I told my wife I can make a statement and I could very easily be proven wrong, but I most likely am the only preacher in Tyler, Texas today that's preaching on the Battle of Armageddon. But the Bible presents that. Why shouldn't we teach on the Battle of Armageddon? It's just as true as the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want you to give me your ears today, and I hope that as we study these passages, that we might learn from God's Word. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, the Bible graphically sets forth some things that are going to occur when Jesus Christ comes the second time. Look at verse number 7 and read with me just in your mind as I read aloud to you in verse 7 and following. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. An angel is revealing these things to John. And he said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And the angel said, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, let me pause. That's a far cry from Bethlehem's manger. And there are certain times during the year when we give so much emphasis to the babe that was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And we talk about, oh, I believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Well, what about this, my dear friends? That heaven's going to open and a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, watch this, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. For he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Grab a couple of texts. In verse number 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the other partial text is in the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse number 16. Very important. He gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And I want to speak on the subject of the battle of Armageddon. There are two notable suppers that are mentioned in chapter 19 of Revelation. Stay with me now. Two notable suppers are mentioned in this 19th chapter of Revelation. One is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse number 9. The scripture is very clear. The marriage supper of the Lamb. He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. The other one is called the supper of the great God. Look at verse number 17. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. In our study last week, I drew a contrast between the rapture and the revelation. At the rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and stops in the air and brings out of this earth the dead in Christ, and living believers join him, Christ, in the air, and he takes them into heaven. However, at the revelation, which is best known as the terminology of the second coming of Christ, he comes back the second time to this earth, not stopping in the clouds, but to this earth, and with him, all the saints in glory up to that particular point. Now, right now, by way of introduction, I want to begin contrasting these two suppers, the marriage supper of the Lamb and the supper of the great God. Just listen to this. The marriage supper of the Lamb is conducted in heaven. The supper of the great God is conducted on earth. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a supper of marriage. The supper of the great God is a supper. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. But go back to verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of our God, or the great day of God Almighty. It is a time when the armies of heaven will engage in battle with the armies on this earth for the right of the millennial kingdom that will be established. Either the Antichrist will reign as king, or the Lord Jesus Christ will reign as king. You say, well, in that future, that's the Word of God. That's the Bible that you hold in your hand and hopefully in your heart. It is felt by many that this battle is not far off. The First World War, you may remember reading about it, or if you're old enough, remember some of the things about it. The First World War was termed Armageddon. A recent film entitled Apocalypse Now by Francis Coppola dealt with this very battle. Even more recently, the number one movie out of Hollywood was Armageddon. Hal Lindsey wrote the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And in it, he suggests that Armageddon will come when the armies of the West are arrayed against 200 million soldiers from China in a fierce battle with the vortex centered at the Valley of Megiddo. Armageddon. Number one, the location and history of Armageddon. The location and history of Armageddon. It is called by different names in your Bible. In your King James Bible, it's called by different names. Only once is it mentioned, the Battle of Armageddon. It is called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It is called the Plain of Megiddo. It is called the Plain of Esdraelon. It is called the Valley of Jezreel. All a part of the Great Plain in northern Palestine. 65 miles north of Jerusalem, running 200 miles long. The Hill of Megiddo is located west of the Jordan River, about 10 miles south of Nazareth. and 15 miles inland from the Mediterranean. The battle will encompass more than that area. However, the center spot of the activity will occur at that point. It's interesting, as you study your scripture, more than 200 battles have been fought on that piece of ground. It was here that Deborah and Barak, remember they were two judges of the children of Israel? It was here that Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites in Judges chapter 4. The Israelites had been dominated by the Canaanites for 20 years. Jabin was the king of Canaan, and his captain was Sisera. Sisera had 900 chariots, but Barak the judge had 10,000 men and defeated the Canaanites. It was here that Gideon defeated the Midianites in Judges chapter number 7. Midian was dominated Israel for 7 long years, and yet Gideon took an army of 300 soldiers and defeated the Midianites. It was here that King Saul was slain by the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 31. It is called the Mount of Slaughter because so many battles and bloodshed has occurred there. Number 2. The armies of heaven will return with the Lord to do battle. When it talks about the armies of heaven, it's not talking about the armies of angels who live in heaven, but the saints of God who have died on this earth and have been taken to heaven. Can you imagine how many millions of Christians have died and gone to heaven? Think about it for a moment. And they're described here as the armies of heaven. Look at Revelation 19, verse number 14. 19, verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, Christ, upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You need not turn to it, but jot it down. Jude verses 14 and 15. Jude had this to say, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." When Christ comes the second time, he's not coming alone. He's going to bring with him the saints in heaven, the armies in heaven, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The armies of heaven will return with the Lord to do battle on this earth. That hasn't happened yet. But these are the true sayings of God. Number 3. God calls the birds to this supper. In verses 17 through 18 of that 19th chapter. "I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven." Can you imagine? "Come and gather yourselves together and to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." These birds will probably be vultures. They will probably be buzzards. Don't get too angry at the buzzard. Get angry at the drunk. It is the drunk that produces the filth. It is the buzzard that cleans it up. God calls for the buzzards of the air. They belong to God's janitorial detail. I do like that. The word flesh is used 5 times here. Millions will be killed and must be cleaned up to prepare the way for our Lord's kingdom. Number four, our Lord lands on earth and the battle begins. Now, these two passages may not be easy for you to find, depending on how versed you are in Scripture. One is Zechariah chapter 14, and one is in Joel chapter number 3. They're very, very important because they speak to this very subject. In Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and then verse number 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. When your Bible talks about the day of the Lord, that terminology, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is called the day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Our Lord is speaking here. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Dear friends, that has never happened. There have been all kinds of nations, but not all nations have been against Jerusalem. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. You say, well, did not that happen thousands of years ago? No. How do you know? Because the next verse says this, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Boy, the last part of it really did bug me. In the day of battle, he's going to fight against those nations when he comes the second time, as he did in history in the day of battle. Now, whenever I hit a stump in studying the Bible, I usually get my commentaries down. Mr. Gill usually has some pretty choice words. Gill says it refers to what God did to Pharaoh and his armies, protecting the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea, and not a life was lost. Notice it doesn't stop there. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Name me the name of the parcel of ground that Christ stood on the last time before he left. The Mount of Olives. That's over there near Jerusalem. When he comes the second time, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. He tells you where he's talking about, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And something unusual is going to happen when that occurs. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Why don't you go over to the Holy Land and see if you can see where it's already been divided? It hadn't been divided yet. That hasn't happened yet, dear ones. But it's going to happen at the second coming of Christ when his feet touch the Mount of Olives. It's going to split that holy mount right in half. I'll tell you why in just a moment. When that occurs, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall you reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days Uzziah of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. How much plainer could that be? Verse number 9, and the Lord shall be, ladies and gentlemen, listen, the Lord shall be, not has been, not is, but shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Now, I have some dear friends who believe that the only thing there is to the kingdom of God, that he rules and reigns in the hearts of his people. Dear friends, I want to know, if he's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when was he coronated? When was he coronated? David was king of the Israelites. His kingdom lasted for 7 years in Hebron, And then it was moved to Jerusalem, where he served as king of Israel for the next 33 years. He was kings are coronated. When will this king be coronated? When he's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, you think that's a tough passage? Tighten up your seatbelts and go to Joel, the book of Joel. Chapter number 3, verses 1 through 2, and then jumping over to verse 9. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, Megiddo, Armageddon, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 9. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. He's going to declare war on the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Now, notice the wording there. I spoke last Sunday on the latter days, and in the latter days, that passage of Scripture, not this one I just read, says that men shall beat their swords into plowshares, just the opposite, and their pruning hooks into spears is written concerning the last days, their spears into pruning hooks. Why is that so? Because in the latter days, when the kingdom of Christ is established, it is a time of peace. We don't fight wars anymore once the Lord establishes his kingdom. We beat our swords into plowshares, and we beat our pruning hooks, our spears into pruning hooks. But now the battle is about to begin, and it's just the opposite. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Listen. Let the heathen be awakened. It's a pretty good idea to wake up once in a while. And come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's Armageddon. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put in the sickle. The harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow. The wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. When? For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun, the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. You say, why? That's strange language talking about the Lord going to roar. Why not? He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's what lions do. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. Do you know what? Hadn't been holy. I never shall forget one of the trite sayings of Lester Roloff before he died. He'd make this statement time after time when he would be preaching. He said, people want to know, have I gone over to the Holy Land? He said, there ain't no such thing as a Holy Land. He said, just as unholy over there as it is here, it's unholy land. But one day when the king establishes law and order, it will be holy. Can you get hold of that? Can you get hold of that? There'll be no more strangers passing through her anymore. Our Lord lands on this earth and the battle begins. Good question. Number 5, who will be involved in this battle? who will be involved in this battle. The battle will be fought between the beast leading the kings of the earth and the armies of heaven led by Jesus Christ. The kings of the north, the south, the east, and the west shall converge on Palestine. In that 19th verse, it says this, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together against to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Talks about the kings of the south and the east, the west and the north. What about the kings of the east? In the 12th chapter, pardon me, in the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse number 12, the 16th of Revelation, verse number 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The way of the kings of the east. That word in the Greek east means sun rising. For the sun rises from the east. Most likely it refers to the land of the rising sun, which is Japan. Thus including the Orient, China. And then he mentions the Euphrates here. It is a river 1,800 miles long, up to 1,200 yards wide, up to 60 feet deep. It's long been a protection barrier for the countries east and west of it. And God will dry it up to let the eastern kings through with their armies. When the feet of our Lord touch the Mount of Olives, it will split right down the middle. Why? To let the kings of the east get over to Palestine without a hindrance. So much for the kings of the east. They'll be involved in it. The kings of the west. When you study Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse number 12, he's talking about the revived Roman Empire. We hear much today said about it in these terms, the European common market. The hottest thing off the news presses today is the fact that the United Kingdom is wanting to pull out and some of the parliament doesn't want them to pull out. I don't know if they've read the handwriting on the wall, but they want to get out while they can and not be a part of the European common market. He talks about the kings of the south in Daniel 11, verse 40. And the kings of the north, both of those in Daniel 11, 40. And at that time the end shall, pardon me, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push up at him, at Palestine. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. I tell you what I think, and probably what you think is just as important as what I think. But I do not believe that this could be any other country than Russia. It must come from the north to get down to Palestine. We maybe should go deeper at this point. Time will not allow us to. All I can do is to give you a parallel scripture assignment. You study Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. You do that. Do it conscientiously. Do it seriously. The 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The part that Russia will play is called Gog. That's the prince of Russia. Rosh, as it is mentioned in Scripture, is the root word for Russia. Magog means the ruler or the leader of Russia. And from this we see an injunction placed against the ruler of Russia by God. They're interested. Did you not know they're interested in Palestine? Absolutely. even in the 38th of Ezekiel, the allies that Russia will have as they seek to possess Palestine. There is Persia. Today it is called Iran. In 1936, Russia and Persia signed a treaty of friendship. And today, even this hour, Russia still plays footsie with Iran. Have you been paying attention to news lately? Persia, now Iran, is antagonistic toward America. Some years back, Iran asked the American troops to pull out. Russia will ally with Iran because 1/4 of the world's oil is found there. And then you've got Ethiopia. This country's been friendly with Russia since the late 30s. You have Libya, a hotbed for international strife. And on there mentioned Togomar, which is another name for Turkey. Keep your eyes on Turkey. Notice all of these come from the north quarter, and due north of Palestine is Russia. In Ezekiel 38, verses 11 and 12, why would Russia want to come down? Russia wants Palestine for wealth. There is wealth in abundance at the bottom of the Dead Sea. It has been estimated that more than $1.25 trillion worth of chemicals are in the Dead Sea. And they want that. They want that. Could stay there a long time, but time will not let me. What will be the outcome of this great battle when the kings of the north and the kings of the west and the kings of the east, the kings of the south, converge on Palestine at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, at the Battle of Armageddon? What is it? Look at verse 15 and 21 of chapter 19, Revelation. Verse 15 and verse number 21. The Bible says, and out of his mouth, that is out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. In verse number 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The Lord Jesus will defeat the armies of the world by the word of his mouth. How did they come about? Who made them? God made them. How did he make them? He made them by speaking it. Let it be, and it was. We're not products of evolution. We're products of the creative handiwork of God Almighty. And these worlds came into existence by the mouth of God. They can go out of existence by the mouth of God. And the beast and false prophet, you say, well, I don't believe in that. That's because you don't believe your Bible. The beast and false prophet will be cast alive into hell fire. In verse number 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now then, what is the conclusion to the matter? In Daniel chapter 2, and you need not turn to it unless you just want to, because we've preached on it so many, many times. Daniel is faced to interpret a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And he could not remember what he had dreamed, and he therefore did not know what the meaning of the dream was. And so you read about that dream in Daniel chapter number 2. And Daniel is called in and says to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. The head of gold is the Babylonian Empire. And then he talks about the arms and breast of silver. That's the Persian Empire, Iran. He talks about the belly and thighs of brass. That's the Greek Empire, made up of Macedonia and Asia and Syria and Egypt. And he talks about the legs of iron being the Roman Empire, the European Confederation of all nations. And they're all going to fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. You find that in Daniel chapter number 2. And I will read it for your hearing. In Daniel chapter number 2. Verses 44 and 45. Please notice. And in the days of these kings, which I've just mentioned for you, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. This tells him what's going to happen in the future. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. So all of these major kingdoms of the world shall be crushed at the presence of the coming, second coming of Christ. This stone that is in heaven, not made by hands, but made by God Almighty, and comes in to crush these enemy nations of the Lord. All will fall before Christ, the stone. Guess what? Got 5 minutes. Turn to Psalm 2. You say, what in the world has Psalms got to do with what you're talking about? Everything in the world. Psalm number 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Notice the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. There's coming a day when the kings of the earth shall set themselves against the king of the Lord Jesus Christ, the king of Christ. And they're saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Did you know that God is going to laugh? Huh? How foolish it is when men think they can dethrone God and take God off of his sovereign throne. The Lord shall have them in derision. They're going to act like a bunch of fools, and they're already acting like it. Who's this Cortissa, whatever her name is? I don't know why they couldn't just call her Jezebel or something like that. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Said, better get ready because the world's going to be gone in 12 years. How dumb can you get? You read your Bible, my dear friends, and you find out the world's not going to be gone in 12 years. But nonetheless, he'll have them in derision. They shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex. Then, pardon me, shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king, where did he set him? Upon my holy hill of Zion. There's only one holy hill of Zion, that's over in Palestine. I will declare the decree of the Lord, who said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And he says to the Son, ask of me. Lord, ask of me. Christ, ask of me. I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And what will the Lord do about that? Thou shalt break them, the enemy nations, with a rod of iron and shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And oh, the romance of it. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I find no better way to close a message than that statement. Blessed are those that put their trust in him. I do not have all the answers, but I tell you, I know one who does, the Lord God of glory. And one day Christ is coming in such an hour as you think not, and things are really going to begin to happen. I think it'll be interesting for those of us who've been saved by the grace of God will be able to say, you know what? I heard the preacher talking about that. I remember when I was going to Grace Baptist Church down in Tyler, Texas. Yeah, he said that. I thought he's crazy. But it's what he said. And look, it's all taking place. It's going to happen. Whatever God says, God will execute. Battle of Armageddon, I tell you what, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen on this earth. And I hope and pray that I have somehow been used of the Lord to provoke a little bit of interest on your part to do some study. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Let's stand for prayer, please.